Brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. With Saver, you earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining, entertainment, and at grocery stores. That's unlimited cash back on ordering takeout from home, or unlimited cash back on tickets to concerts and games. So grab a bite, grab a seat, and earn unlimited 3% cash back with the Saver Card. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
And staff, yeah. That's a bad combination.
Yeah. Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
This is an Opendale?
Yes.
But it's not our Open, it's not Dickie Dale.
It's one of, it's our...
Who's Open is it? Is it,
it's the
you're in Mapes Open?
It's the Hour 2 Open.
Is it... Is it Joe George's Open?
No, it is the Open to Hour 2, the intro to Hour 2. We play a different one. Because we don't want to overexpose Dick Dale. I know it's been a thing for 20 years, but we don't want to overexpose it.
Well, the public is overexposed with Julian, isn't it?
It's up to you. I mean, he called back in.
Oh, man, that was messed up.
Yeah.
He said Houston sports are trash.
Yeah.
I feel like that... He's suspended the rest of the week.
Well,
the least we can do.
But he did go after Dell,
so that's a positive.
He didn't.
He said he was.
He said he was going to. Remember, he tricked.
Oh yeah,
he tricked us.
Yeah,
he said
Julian,
Houston
sorry.
Sports are trash. Shouldn't we suspend him for this week?
Yep, he's suspended.
Sorry, Julian.
Yeah, what in the world would he want to talk about?
I normally
something that's not Houston.
He had a comment for you. I normally suspend you, Julian, for things you do on my show.
His comment was he'll yell something and then I'll hang up. That's what he'll do.
Sorry, you can call in to my show.
Does he give you a problem too?
He does the Niner gang thing, so I will suspend him for a week for doing that.
That's been an issue for years with you.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Niner bang bang something?
Yeah, bang bang Niner gang. It's terrible. So
Dell has hung up on him in the past on this show for doing that.
Get out of here. It's dumb.
So, yeah, if he would have attacked Dell, then he would get points.
No, he got on, he tricked, and then he said all Houston sports are trash.
Yeah,
and then said
sorry,
F
Julian.
Nico Collins.
Go drive around.
He didn't say
you had to dump it.
He did not say F Nico Collins.
You had to dump
he did say the first thing though.
He said,
Julian, you're
KD
a band
can't
from
lift.
Julian, you're banned from this show until Monday, according to Lance.
Yep.
Sorry.
Yep. No, you got a punishment. You got to face the music.
You got to face punishment, man. That was messed up what you did.
The Astros won last night.
Yeah, does that sound like trash to you? Sweeping the Marlins with a winning record? Does that sound like trash?
Yeah.
They got a new shooting coach.
Although they've lost like nine straight now.
Chip Engelin. Does that sound like trash? A new shooting coach who's considered the preeminent shooting coach in the NBA. The Fertittas opened up the pocketbooks and signed him. Does that sound like trash? CJ's been lifting. Reed Shepard's been lifting. Does that sound like trash? Reed's lifting with Kevin Durant, but still, it's something.
Yeah. It's better than no weights, I guess. I guess it's better if you just use the bar, the little bars. Yeah, then that's better. But I mean, of all people to lift with, the guy with stick arms. All of those things happened. All of those things happened yesterday. Astros. With the big win, I don't understand how you even it just doesn't make any sense. Was it Texas that just walked him every time? I forget who it was. Who were they playing, Tampa or Texas?
I think it was Texas.
Yeah, Texas just said, we've given him one pitch.
Smart.
Nothing.
Smart.
And yet Miami in the eighth inning is throwing it. I mean, it was a decent pitch. It's low and away. And
no,
he just
drives
it.
When Yordan is on, when Yordan's truly on, you cannot get away with pitches outside, and especially low and outside.
First inning, not yesterday, but the night before, first inning, he hits a base hit to right, just a grounder through the right side. 100 off the bat. 100 base hit. Single down. It was on the ground immediately, and yet it's still 100 miles an hour off his bat. And just elevate anything, everything. It seems like he's on the barrel, everything. He did go through that little – he had one little stretch this year where he was like 1 for 16 or Didn't he have
Over? Not that long ago.
Yeah, it wasn't that long. It was about two or three series ago. But holy crap. He's just he's getting the love now nationally. MLB is doing a lot of talk about the Astros, that if they opened up the and put Paredes, Walker, Peña, and Hader out there,
yeah,
they would get an incredible, they would change, the Astros could change the entire market, the entire offseason market, trade deadline market.
Yeah.
And
they're not going to.
I mean, those would be, well, Scooble is obviously the prize, but Detroit's not sure what they're going to do. There is, I think there's less than 10%. I think even less than that. When they're two games out of first place, they're four games under 500, I get it, but they're two games out of first place,
mm-hmm.
there's zero chance they're trading anybody. Zero, I think. I mean, that's just not their MO. Jim Crane ain't giving up. He ain't throwing in the towel on a season that where he's two games out of first. He's just not.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not. Maybe Peña gets traded in the offseason before the lockout. We'll see. Or maybe they just hold on to everybody, and then they just go through, and nobody, everybody just sits around. They'll still be Astros. Although it will be a mad scramble if they do have a lockout and the season starts late, or whenever the season restarts, it's probably going to be a mad scramble. That might not be a great time to try to trade people because it's going to be hectic. It'll be a shortened preseason. It might be even a preseason in April or May next year. And, maybe a couple weeks, 3 weeks to get ready for the season and a shortened season. I'm not sure. Do you think that's going to be a tough time to trade people? A really tough time.
Yeah. It's who's making trades when you don't even know what the CBA is going to look like.
Right.
Like, if you don't make a trade before the trade deadline, I don't know. I don't know what next. I think it's highly unlikely the season starts on time. The owners are dug in. We're not doing what we're doing right now. They're already saying it. They what the Dodgers are doing. We saw some people misconstrued what I tweeted. They had Tom Verducci talked about, Kyle Tucker's getting paid $86 million this year on top of, as a signing bonus, on top of his salary. So he's making, $112 million this year? Something like that, $119 million. It's something insane. And then that allows them to take the rest of the contract and just kind of, delay it out over years, just spread it out over years, small amounts over years for many, many years. They're cash rich, and there's advantages that they have. The Dodgers are taking advantages.
Well, and he's got money that's going to be
deferred.
Paid. Yeah.
That's what I was saying. They're spreading it out. And so, there's a loophole that people want closed because the Dodgers have an unfair advantage. Anybody who's cash heavy will have an unfair advantage. And they're doing this with Mookie Betts, with multiple players, Shohei Ohtani. And so it's a big advantage.
Shohei's is ridiculous, though.
And Shohei's is crazy. But if Shohei wants to do it, he can do it because he knows all his marketing money is going to come in. And, at the end of the day, if you really think about, I'm not going to ever spend this money anyway, you could do whatever you wanted to if your ego wasn't about what's my number going to be. But agents are going to make sure you get your bread. But think about this. You've got teams who aren't competitive, who don't spend the money that they get from revenue sharing, which has always been a problem in Major League Baseball. You got other teams that can't compete because they don't have the same TV and radio deals locally that major market teams have. NFL, one of its strengths is parity. Any team in any year can come up. And here's where people try to make this argument for baseball. Oh, what about this team? But we're talking about true parity. We're talking about true parity where you can build out a roster. Teams can't keep, the Astros can't even keep their best players more than 1 year. More than one run, the 6 year run. The Astros don't even keep their guys beyond the 6 year run, and they're considered a upper mid level, an upper market team. It's just, it's a decision Jim Crane makes. I get that. But the owners are not going to keep this in place where there's no salary cap. There's salary caps in every other major sport, and they've got their ass whipped by Major League Baseball, first by the umpire. Remember, John, when the umpires used to beat the brakes off the Major League Baseball, and finally Major League Baseball had, you know, was able to stand up to them after after a stoppage, and they were able to get rid of a bunch of bad umpires. But the Players Association, for just decades, have gotten most everything they've wanted, and as soon as the owners want to stand up to them just a little bit, the players flip out. Like, no, we cannot go back to a system of indentured servitude. What are y'all talking about?
Well, I saw a stat where if they have a floor, if they, you know, they have a ceiling and they also have a floor.
Yeah,
that it's going to be the same for the players.
A floor know? For the for it, teams,
it,
you mean?
Yeah, for the teams. Well, yeah, it's going to have to spend.
Exactly, because you'll have to spend.
Teams right now that aren't spending anything.
Look, here's what you'll find out in real life that we live in, and in sports life, the middle class, they don't give a crap about the middle class. Mm-hmm. Not really. It's not robust. It's getting worse and worse in everything. Now, the middle class in pro sports is well compensated relative to all of us, but. But still, the middle class in pro sports has taken a big, big hit because of all the rules are made for the top 5% of NBA, for example. But NBA is spread out now. Like, the money is better for NBA players now because of their cap, frankly. And the cap, making $50 or $60 million a year. The players figured out this cap is really nothing. Like, we still get to get, you know, we aren't beholden to 6 and 7 and 8 year deals. We get to the market faster, and they figured out their supermax is higher. Major League Baseball should adopt something similar to this, well, where they get some of the spending under control. I like the idea of having a draft of international players. I like that idea personally. I think it promotes parity for international players. I like having, you know, the caps on international spending. Like, you got to be smart with your money. You can't just hoard a bunch of players from a certain country or whatever the case may be. So I like some of the things that I've seen from the owner side. The players don't. The players have things that I think they like, and they do want to take care of. I think there's some things for the lower level players and the mid level players that they want that I like the idea. But the idea that Major League Baseball as Players Association are basically like, it's a non-starter. If you try to say cap to us, y'all can't have a conversation. Like, you can't even talk about this. You can't look at the NBA model or the NFL model. I don't see anyone starving in NFL. I see quarterbacks making $60 million, $50 million. I see basketball players making in the 50s and 60s at the highest level. Major League Baseball's just being, they're just being too hard-headed. They don't understand that players with you know, who have been in the league and who, if you have 3 and 4 year deals, you got a chance to redo your deal all the time. You're going to still be making your money. You're going to still be making your money, but it could help a greater percentage of your players if you actually cared about the middle class. And that's what creating a floor would do, a higher floor would do, because a higher floor is a big part of this too. That's something that if you have a quote unquote cap, it's not going to, isn't going to keep you from making money. What are we talking
about? And it's so dumb because the majority of the guys are at the floor level or the middle of the road level,
right,
and yet they cater to the guys that are making the big money. We got a break, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Let's get Jim in here quickly, talk some Astros. I'm going to get to some Texans talk here, an interesting conversation, after we get Jim in here. Hey, Jim, what's going on?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Doing good. Doing great. How
you doing? Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Yep.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to talk about the Astros, and I've got a mainly around Altuve. But before that, I wanted to add to comments about Alvarez. So, you know, I've watched so much baseball over my life, and I'm getting more and more to think that there's a lot of stupid people in leadership positions in baseball, whether it's general managers, head coaches, and in particular hitting coaches, that leave a lot to be desired. And sometimes, with what I've seen over the years, and I don't understand why people are pitching to Alvarez, whether it's pride or wanting to be competitive. But this is next level hitting right now that we're witnessing from Jordan. To Lance's point about, you know, when Alvarez is going good, he's pestering stuff opposite field. That's the normal Alvarez. This Alvarez, he's going good when he's pulling outside off-speed pitches on a line. I mean, you're supposed to take those the other way. And when he's even fooled, his mechanics are so tight right now that you can't get them out unless you have some type of wipeout breaking pitch. I don't see why they don't walk him every time. And he's getting pitches that are, like, sometimes left out over the plate. And I'm like, these are big league pitchers. Why are you giving him anything close to hit if you're pitching to him? It's mind-boggling. On the other end of the spectrum, I reached my breaking point. I love Altuve. He's been our favorite Astro lifelong. But the other day when he grounded into a triple play was just the epitome of what's happened to him. His mechanics have been degrading over the past few years. He's obviously fallen in love with the Crawford boxes. The guy dives to the plate, cuts his swing off, has some of the worst swings when he's off, when he's fooled. He's nothing but a guest hitter now. Back to, you know, hand-eye coordination is all he's got going on. And I've seen this breakdown of his swing over the years, and no one's done anything to address it. And I think when he grounded in that triple play, he looked awful, and his swing got cut off, and it doesn't surprise me that he grounded to a double play. And I don't understand how the hitting coaches don't see some obvious flaws. I mean, I know enough about hitting to be dangerous, but the guy dives, and when he does his takes, he looks like he's taking a dump. He's not rear-legged. He's not keeping his load. You know, he's not staying back, you know, the basic stuff. But there's a whole lot of intricacies on his swing that's just broken down. And I don't get it. I don't understand why hitting coaches don't see it. And I don't see any really adjustments being made. And maybe he'll pull this, you know, the second half of the season, he'll turn it around. But age is catching up with him, and he's got to have mechanics, and he's got to have every advantage to fight age. And I don't see it happening. It's frustrating because I see the flaw, and I don't see our hitting coaches doing anything about it. So, anyway, that was my take.
Yeah, you know, John, in terms of teams, like, I get wanting to pitch around somebody, and you do, but you still have to pitch to hitters. You still have a job to do. You don't just walk guys every single time. This isn't like you can't do that. You still have to get outs. It's just sometimes you just have to be smart about it. And sometimes you just, that was, like you said, it was a good pitch yesterday. What do you want to do? The kid threw a good pitch and he got wrecked because Jordan's on one right now. Like, Jordan's on his greatest season he's ever had. And Jordan is just going to beat you. He's going to beat you. So maybe I'd like to say, well, you just can't miss in that part of the zone. Well, I don't know that he missed. I think he actually hit his spot pretty well. Jordan's just killing it right now.
I don't know. You couldn't put Peña on second, the lead run, right? So you had to pitch to Jordan. I mean, there's situations where the greatest hitters in the game, Bonds. I mean, you just, you know, sometimes you just got to pitch to him. And in the eighth inning with a runner on, you put that runner in scoring position. Listen, Barry Bonds has been walked with the bases loaded. Jordan is having a Barry Bonds kind of season. So I'm amazed. I'm amazed that anybody throws to him. I thought what Texas did, not giving him any pitches, was that's the way to go about it. I'm not throwing him anything, nothing. Mm-hmm. Everybody else has got to beat me. Because the only guy in that lineup that is playing above expectations other than Jordan, right now it's turned into Jeremy. But he wasn't until recently.
Right.
I mean, even he was. So there was one guy that could beat you in the whole lineup. And now Paredes is hitting pretty well too. So, you know, that makes it better. But what Jordan is doing is ridiculous. Ridiculous. And as far as Altuve goes, I'm not going to teach Jose Altuve how to hit. He's getting older. And this is what you get.
Yeah, but he was early in the year doing a much better.
He's always had mechanical issues. He's always been
a wild
man.
Yeah, but he was much better with his plate discipline early in the year.
Well, it was, and then it just disappeared.
Yeah.
Then it just disappeared.
Yeah, they're not hitting well, though. I mean, the hitting coach, I think Cintron is, I don't really, you know, he wasn't great. And now they've changed, and it's not like you have a lot to work with right now. But, yeah, you've actually got some. Look, Jose Altuve can still hit. At a major league level, not maybe Altuve's level. Yordan's hitting great. Jeremy Pena's getting hot. He's healthy now, and when he's healthy, he's actually had some, you know, some success. Paredes has been pretty solid. I don't know how much the hitting coach, what difference. If your philosophy, I think the best thing a hitting coach can do right now in Major League Baseball, because you do see a lot of walks, so I think there are teams who are doing a better job of really coaching their players up on. I think what's happened is they're locking in on small parts of the zone and saying, this is, you're looking for these pitches only. And if it's not there, we got to try to train you to take. We can't train you. And that'll make you chase less. So I think players are really dialed into zone, areas of the zone, and they're being more disciplined with that. And that's why the walk count's gotten a lot higher.
Mm-hmm.
My issue is, boy, the pitching stuff has been an issue for 3 years now. Some of it is injuries, a big part of it is injuries, but you got to get more from it and more consistency from MI. Christian Javier, I'm not sure there is a pitching coach who can do anything to fix that anymore. That's probably just done. Got to get Hunter back on track. Mike Burrows was bad. Maybe you just don't have anything to work with this year. Maybe that's a problem. And then that's a Dana issue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. 7037-8037. Let's break. We'll get to the Texans on the other side. Quick one here. Bottom of the hour. We got to catch up on breaks, but Taqueria Sarandas is what we're talking about first.
Yeah, Taqueria Sarandas, and pulling up their website because I always like. I pulled up their website the other day and found out, oh my gosh, they got a lot of Tex-Mex items right now on their menu, which was kind of new to me. I don't remember seeing that at the locations where I was just the other day. You pull up the. I always like to start with an appetizer. You get one for the, if you're going to go with your family, you're going to go with some friends. You want to find something. You can't go wrong with combination platter. You just can't. You get the beef or chicken quesadillas. You get nachos. You get the taquitos, which are the small tacos. You are going to have your guacamole is going to be served there. So you get started right there. If you're looking for Mexican fast food, I highly recommend their torta, which is the sandwich, or the taquitos, which are the five smaller tacos. But they've got tostadas, burritos, gordita. Have you ever had a gordita? A gordita is fantastic. Not really diet friendly as much, but really tastes great. And then, of course, if you are someone who says, you know, I want to eat something healthier, they've got grilled fish items for you, seafood soup. They've got shrimp cocktails, whole fish that's prepared, waiting for you, the Diablo shrimp. There's something for everyone. You've got authentic Mexican favorites. You've got Tex-Mex. You've got all types of proteins that you're looking for. Breakfast, like you can't believe. Tremendous breakfast items. So breakfast, lunch, and dinner, they are there to serve you, giving you great-tasting food at very reasonable prices. That's the difference that you experience with Taqueria Sarandas. Over 20 locations in the Houston area. They also have some really cool bakeries. Aranda's Bakery can satisfy your sweet tooth as well. It's Taqueria Sarandas. Go to TaqueriaSarandas.com.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You wonder why sports broadcasting and the amount that they pay to these leagues is through the roof, and especially to the NFL. The 2025-26 U.S. sports television landscape. Super Bowl was by far and away 125 million viewers. Second on the list, Spain and Argentina, 66 million. Third on the list, Chiefs Cowboys, got 57 million viewers. Then USA Belgium, 50. And then it just turns into, well, and then it just turns into the NFL.
50 is the highest, total viewers, not average viewers.
Highest total viewers.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Peak viewers.
That was, which is pretty damn good. I mean, that was a garbage game. That's the problem, is too many people saw it.
Yes. USA Belgium, 50 million. And then Patriots Broncos, Packers Lions, Mexico England, Rams, Seahawks, Rams, Bears, 49ers, Eagles, Bills, Broncos, Texans-Patriots comes in 12th. 12th on the list. Then USA versus Bosnia, Norway, England, and then a bunch. The highest baseball game is Dodgers-Blue Jays, came in 37th place. The highest basketball game, NBA Finals, game 5, 40th place.
Mm.
$27 million for the Blue Jays and Dodgers, and $24 million for...
Well, I read all these yesterday.
Yeah. Game 5.
Did you... You heard me when I was reading these yesterday, right?
No, I don't think I did.
I literally did a whole segment. You were on the air.
I probably don't. I don't probably don't
you
remember.
You zoned out.
Dal,
on
do you remember that?
Yeah. Do you remember when we did ratings radio and I said we were going to do it again? Remember we did ratings radio on what soccer did?
Hmm.
Yes.
Dal remembers it.
I remember that. It was exhilarating.
Well, I just decided to do it again.
Oh, you did it again.
People probably
did. John just went through the whole list that I had put together yesterday. Before yesterday.
Were you in your Lance's doing neat stuff mode, so you didn't actually pay attention
neat
to what
stuff.
He did?
I was probably working on my golf team.
But
this
he
week.
Thinks oh. It's neat enough that he just did a whole thing.
No, but when
now.
It comes from that happens sometimes when someone.
But I did it. I do it quicker.
See,
and probably,
this is what I'm saying. It could be the same thing, but someone will look at it and go, oh, it's from him.
Wait,
it's,
John,
it can't be
you
good.
Even commented. It's they had a bigger viewership than the Jordan final game against Utah.
But you didn't do it right. He'll do it right.
I did it for this year, not all year.
No, but I put it in context of all time, even before cord cutting. That's why I wanted to show how big it was. Even before cord cutting.
I'm not sure anybody heard that, though.
It went higher. Well, that's because of the signal. It's not.
I will
has
say,
to do with me.
One of you is more verbose than the other when you bring a topic to the table. I mean, there's a succinctness with what John does compared to you wanting to flesh out it like it's a 3-hour epic.
Well, I wanted to show
John's
like,
more rom com.
This is a 3-hour epic every day.
Epic is questionable. John's more rom com as far as you hit the beats and you get it going. Lance is more. We need an intermission. We're sitting here for 3 hours. It's a epic tale.
But
I gave you the context of the Jordan game. Yeah, when you do it, it's like I've been on an island for 7 years and
well, I'm just not gonna do it.
And Charlize isn't there.
I'm not gonna do it anymore.
Oh no, I'm stuck on this island for 7 years and it's just
all I'm gonna talk about
reciting
is
ratings.
I'm just
10
gonna...
years for Odysseus to get home.
It took 10 years for us to get through that rating segment.
That's it.
Are you happy now? Are you glad you came to me?
I'm not listening to John anymore.
Are you glad you came to me?
No, I'm not listening to him anymore now.
Warren Sharp put this out. Most successful goal-to-go offenses. Who do you think had the best?
Don't care.
Who do you think, Dal? Who do you think had
Texans,
the best goal-to-go offense?
I don't want to. I don't want to do this now. Come on, Lance, join the show again.
Texans.
No chance. No, I'm
Texans.
Negative. I'm negative. Sorry, I should have said no chance.
Texans.
My bad.
Followed by Browns.
No, you were right. No
Cleveland.
Chance.
Oh, okay. I'm right on that. Okay. Best red zone offense. You would think running the ball would help.
Running the ball does help.
So it's a team we think of that runs with the Bills?
It was not the Bills. No. They're fifth.
Okay.
I'd say it's either the Rams or the Bears.
The Rams are second. The Bears are down there 13th. It'll make sense when I tell you it's the Colts.
Jonathan Taylor. And they got a tight end.
Yep. Although he didn't
but they had a
score.
Losing
he didn't
record.
Score a lot.
They had a losing crazy. Record, so that's kind of...
Yeah, didn't they lose their last 9 games?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a surprise.
They didn't get down to goal-to-goal too often.
So their percentage was still high.
Their percentage was good. The Texans finished...
16th, 17th.
Goal-to-goal lower than that.
Yeah.
In the 20s.
28.
Yeah.
28th. They were bad. They're not good, goal-to-go. And it's based on goal-to-goal play success rate and TD rate in goal-to-go situations. One surprising little stat is that, Joe Burrow gets the third down a lot in goal-to-go situations. And he's got to be better. He's got to be better. They're not that good. And I don't know that they have a – they score a lot of long touchdowns, don't they? With Jamar.
Well.
And Higgins.
They did with, yeah, with Kyle. Remember, he missed a lot of time last year. So with Kyle, remember, it was it was your boy Flacco. Like Joe missed like 8 or 9 games last year.
Kind of a big deal when you're looking at fantasy, too, is whose Falcons are really good. Bijan, they got Bijan.
Yeah.
You know, and London had a good, and Kyle Pitts actually had a.
Well, you have two bigs and then a badass dual threat running back. Like, you should be pretty good. You look at all that, and then you look at their record, you think, oh, Michael Penix, stinky.
Yeah.
When he was healthy.
Eagles are good. Well, tush push, obviously. Bills are fifth. Packers are good. Commanders, Dolphins. Dolphins were good, though, and goal to go. Finished eighth in the league. I'm not sure how many chances they got, but they were pretty good when they did.
They're going to be awful. I mean, they were average last year. I think they might have finished 8-9. I don't remember exactly. They could run the ball a little bit in that area because Mike McDaniel's creative, and you could. They weren't good down-to-down run the football, but they could create down there. I am surprised they're that high, though. I didn't sense that. I didn't feel that.
Sounds like this really is not that big a stat.
No, with the Colts, but the Rams are good, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're always going to have people at the top of any stat sheet are going to be pretty good teams, but sounds like it's maybe not as predictive.
No, not like it's not like that stat that he had the other day of
how long you've been ahead.
Of snaps with the lead.
Yeah. Now, that should be predictive as well. So you're telling me that you've had a lot of snaps with the lead and usually win? Yeah, that means if you lead in basketball most of the minutes, you're probably going to win.
But that means though that you're probably scoring first, which means it's kind of a big deal to score first.
Yeah, you're a good team. Yeah. You get leads and you hold leads.
Yeah, yeah,
that makes sense.
Right, and your defense is probably pretty good to hold a lead.
We didn't do it yesterday. I'd sent you the email. We got to get to Josh Heupel's comments during SEC Media Day about Lane Kiffin. I had to double check to make sure this wasn't AI. I can't believe he said this. And then Mike Elko took a shot at his own team yesterday.
Right.
So SEC Media Day is going on right now. What we're finding out is everyone hates. Well, we already knew everyone hates Pete Golding. Everyone hates Lane Kiffin. But
Golding doesn't hate Lane Kiffin though. He said that.
Who doesn't?
Pete Golding doesn't.
Well, that's because he was on his staff.
He was on his staff, and he got a job because
he got a job because Lane left. I would imagine he doesn't. But wait till you hear what Josh Heupel said.
Right.
I'm surprised this isn't a really big deal, to be honest with you.
All right.
But it's just more SEC stuff, I guess.
All right, we'll do that on the other side. Let's do this, though. Let's talk about HRP, HRP.net, 281-880-6525, HRP.net. Your business is your business. You do what you do. You do it great because you got a business and you got more employees and holy crap, you're growing and you're like, hey, we're doing pretty damn well now. Okay. Now, how do we handle this though? Maybe it's a lot easier when you got just a few employees and you're just, okay, here's your paycheck and that's great. And we can write that out. But as you're growing and it's getting harder, and you got to take care of these people. You got to take care of 401ks. You got to take care of insurance. You got to do all of these things that are just so difficult. HR, now all of a sudden we've got some HR issues. How do we handle that? We don't know anything about how to make sure if you've got a problem employee, how do you handle that and not get sued? Because if you're trying to do that, you don't know the rules. You're not familiar with all of these things now that have cropped up because you're successful. When you're successful, you need help. You need people that do payroll perfectly, HR perfectly, taxes perfectly, all of the Affordable Care Act. What do you know about that? Nothing. They do. They're experts in the Affordable Care Act. So HRP is a great way to go about this. And if you're with an admin company now and you feel like, wow, we really give them a lot of money, maybe you can do it better and cheaper. HRP.net. Let them partner with you to be great. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net. In case you missed it, we gave away a couple of fantasy spots, and we'll continue to do that. We will continue. We've got a fantasy draft coming up August 27th at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles, and you're going to get a two-night stay and $200 worth of food and beverage that you take care of at the Golden Nugget. If you I just got a text from my boy who he joins us. I'm not going to mention any names because he said his wife called in. Did you have somebody guess John Weeks?
I didn't hear that, but one of our interns repeated the name John Weeks. I didn't know what it was about, but I did hear that name.
So the question was, what quarterback had the best Texans and wide receiver had the best fantasy
season in Texans
seasons
history.
In Texans history? And she guessed John Weeks. I'm not going to mention any name, but I'll never let her forget it.
That didn't get to me, but yes, I did hear that.
Yes.
Incredulously being repeated by the intern out there.
Right. Okay. John Weeks is not the answer. Not the answer.
It's probably never the answer on a fantasy, on a trivia contest. And definitely not about fantasy.
Definitely not fantasy.
Dell, do you have the Josh Heupel sound?
Yeah. I just cleaned it up, I think. Okay. Yeah, here.
Said ugly words?
No, maybe he just shortened it up a little bit. But Josh Heupel was asked, you know, Lane Kiffin famously had some issues there. He burned bridges in Tennessee. And the Tennessee people did not take it well when he left them after 1 year to go to USC. They didn't take it well at all. And, in fact, in 2021, Lane Kiffin came into Tennessee, and they actually won. They actually beat the Tennessee Vols in Tennessee. And there was a bad fourth down spot. There was a fourth down spot that they were really pissed off about, the fans were. And they were mad. It was late in the fourth quarter, and there were other questionable calls that game. And Ole Miss won 31-26. They started throwing stuff all over the field. And two of the famous things that they threw was a bottle of a French's mustard bottle. Somehow a French's mustard bottle got thrown onto a bottle, not a little plastic, a bottle. And then golf ball also was thrown at Lane Kiffin. So Lane Kiffin picked the golf ball up, put it in his pocket, and then in the post game, he showed it to the fans whenever he was leaving just to piss them off even more. In the post game, he brought it out and made a big deal about that. So Baton Rouge reporter at SEC Media Days, if you've never heard about it, I've never gone, but it's people from all over the SEC come, and all the coaches show up, and it's wild. Like, they all get to ask all their questions. And typically, especially Lane Kiffin, makes some noise over there, makes some real noise with comments. This time, Josh Heupel was asked a question by a Baton Rouge reporter. Listen to his answer.
Certainly hope our fan base hasn't cooled off.
Do you have the question or no? Because if not, I need to say the question.
She asked if the fan base is still going to be as fiery as they were the last time that Lane Kiffin showed up in Knoxville.
Rick, referring to what I just told you happened in 2021. Listen to what the head coach says.
Certainly hope our fan base hasn't cooled off. So, whether it's the grocery stores being fully stocked with mustard, or our sports stores making sure that they got reinforcements on the golf balls. Hopefully, Knoxville's ready for his arrival.
You can't incite your fan base to throw stuff at the coach.
That's exactly what I thought. This isn't a joke to them. Tennessee's looking at that as, well, he gave us a red light. He gave us a red light.
Green light.
Well, they'll probably say something like red light.
What?
No, that would be stop.
We red lit this whole thing.
Mm. Well, a code red, maybe.
That's what
he ordered the code red, maybe.
He gave us a red light on that. We're able to do it. Fire away.
Green light.
He red lit it.
He gave us a green light, or he ordered the code red.
But the confusion would be, he gave us a red light.
You think the people in Knoxville are uneducated? Well, is that what you're saying?
I'm saying some of the people in the stands.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's a lot of people in Knoxville.
There's a lot of T-shirt fans.
And they come from all over, not just Knoxville. They came from all over Tennessee.
But they'll be in Knoxville on the day.
He's basically, and when he was done, there was no laughter. Dale, you've seen the video.
No one was
chuckling.
He
doesn't smile. He doesn't laugh. Nobody, even during his answer, he's so deadpan, nobody laughs at his answer. He moves on to the next question.
Well, probably a lot of people didn't remember that, you would think. I mean.
Well, but what he's basically, you don't have to remember, well, Tennessee fans do.
Right. Well, Tennessee fans. Yeah, no,
Tennessee fans.
And he remembered, and you remember. I didn't.
The North remembers.
If he'd have said that, and I was sitting there, I'd go, I don't know what he's talking about.
The North remembers. And so I can tell, I promise you right now, the people who need to remember what they heard was he wants us to bring bottles and golf balls in to throw at Lane Kiffin in the sidelines. That's what they heard. I promise you they heard that. At least some of the fans heard that.
Yeah.
Because it didn't seem like a joke when he said it. He didn't say it like it was a joke. He never smiled. And no one asked a follow-up. No one laughed at the SEC media days, and no one asked a follow-up question. He moved on to the next thing.
I'm telling you, I bet a lot of them didn't even realize what he was talking about.
I think maybe the Baton Rouge reporter did because she did her research, but maybe some, like you said. And that's how long
maybe,
ago?
But that's such a – the SEC bubble, they remember everything. Everything is their life. They don't care about anything else. They don't care about NFL football. We remember stuff that happened on different teams from 2021. I mean, that's specific, getting a mustard bottle thrown at you in a golf ball, I guess. And they littered the field with trash. People may remember that.
I didn't remember specifically about that.
Yeah, I didn't remember specifically either. All I know is that all I heard, I didn't need to. I heard him green lighting the, or they'd say red lighting, the throwing golf balls at people.
Yeah,
that's what I heard. Like, go ahead and bring your stuff in and throw as much stuff as you can at Lane Kiffin. That's what I heard, and I don't even live there.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Elko was asked, Coach, how do you keep your players humble? And then he got to show them the trophy case. It's empty.
That's a Big 12 title in there.
Elko's like, there's nothing in there. That's
Coach, remember Sir Parker? 1998.
He's
come
not
going
to remember Sir Parker. Mike Elko's trying to keep it real. He's an existentialist.
What did Mike say?
They said, how do you keep your players humble, Coach? He goes, show them the trophy case. Empty. Nothing in there. Dell's trying to.
Come on.
Dell's
trying to defend
go for
the Aggies a little bit. They have a Big 12 title.
A Big 12 title 28 years ago.
I mean, it exists. It's one of the great.
None of those players were alive. None of
that's,
them.
That's
not
true.
Even if you got a seventh year guy.
That's true,
on
but that's
roster.
One of the great moments in that era of college football, them beating Kansas State.
It was a cool game.
It was a crazy day.
Yeah.
Earlier in the day, UCLA loses to
Michael,
Miami.
Who was the quarterback? Michael.
For who? Michael Bishop?
Michael Bishop. Yeah. Michael Bishop.
Yeah. The quarterbacks of record on that day were Cade McNown. His team got beat at, I think it was an 11 a.m. kickoff here in Miami, a hurricane delayed game that they lost, and they didn't get to go to the national title.
That's right.
And the next window was the Aggies winning in overtime against K-State. That knocked Michael Bishop's Kansas State team out of the national title game. So it wound up being Tennessee who won the SEC title against a Florida State team starting their third-string quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And Tennessee went on to win the title. With T. Martin and Peerless Price.
I don't think something happened in 1998. That's not going to save Elko's job.
No, but...
Elko's like, there's nothing in there.
But the trophy case,
keep them humble.
But the trophy case ain't empty. He could have been like, we scored 3 points in a playoff game last year. We're pretty humble.
Or, you don't know, maybe he's taken any trophies from the 19...
He
whatever
tossed
they have.
It away.
He could have just put it in a box somewhere. Like, this doesn't count.
I mean...
This is from the 1900s.
All you got to say is, count. Did you see our last game? We scored 3 points. We're pretty humbled.
We were humble.
Yeah.
All you had to say was, oh, you mean that trophy we got from the 1900s? Yeah.
None of these kids were alive the last time we won anything.
We don't count stuff from the 1900s.
That's true.
1936, 38.
Well, they actually, that's the problem. They do count those.
Yeah, they count those.
Yeah.
Mike Elko's like, nope, we took those trophies out. No, you don't take those trophies out.
No, not the national titles.
No. Yep.
Has Lane done anything crazy? I haven't heard anything.
I've not seen him mention.
Has he not spoken at SEC Media Days? This seemingly is going on forever.
Is it a 4-day event? Has he not spoken?
He might be. Is he today?
Pete Golding spoke, of course. Yeah. Lane's talking
No, he did 12 minutes ago. He's speaking right now.
He's speaking
right
now.
He just got done.
He's just about done. So he spoke. I don't know if anyone asked him about what Heupel said, but he did just finish up speaking.
Okay, yesterday or Monday. Oh, Monday, Stein, Drinkwitz, Venables, and Heupel. Tuesday, Golish, Smart, Beamer, and Lee.
They do 4 days.
Wednesday, DeBoer, Sumrall, Golding, and Elko. Today, Silverfield, Kiffin, Lebby, and Sarkisian.
Is that all of them, or is there another day? Did you name all the coaches?
That's all of them.
Okay, so they get 4 days?
They got 4 days. Today's the last day.
Okay.
Hey, Pete Golding was asked, do you expect the Lane Kiffin talk to go away after Ole Miss hosts LSU on September 19th? He goes, you have an ex? Are you married? If you do get married and you have an ex that your wife knows about, she doesn't ever end.
Ever.
She's never dead. So he's like, nah, it ain't going away. And Lane Kiffin also said, they were asked about his comments to Vanity Fair. He took shots at Ole Miss, which is, you know, which is what he does. He goes, it was a poor choice of words. I apologize for it. Moving on.
He also is quoted as saying, we're all going to die. He said that today. I don't know what what he was responding to, but according to Brett McMurphy, Lane Kiffin says we're all going to die.
He did?
Which is true. I mean, if you're just being...
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean,
well, he doesn't know.
They say it's kind of a quieter Lane. So he gave up his social media. His son convinced him to give up his social media account. And Kiffin was philosophical about life without social media. He said he's learned a lot about subtracting things from his life.
Oh,
mentions alcohol and toxic relationships.
He said we're all going to die.
Waxing poetic.
In reference to watching the Hulk Hogan doc. That got him thinking that way.
Hulk died.
We're all going to die.
Huh. Hulk died?
Yep.
Nobody knew that.
Hulk Hogan
died. He's been dead for a while.
Oh. Did he? I didn't know.
He's a very famous person who died. We knew.
Yeah. I mean, wow, Lane. Lane, I like Lane saying stuff. Don't be like this, Lane. I mean, you can't
He's had a rethink about his life.
Oh, I don't need that. Now he's at LSU. We need entertainment.
I would think winning would be the formula for him to entertain you guys, all you guys down there.
Well, he's not going to win at all. He's Lane Kiffin. He doesn't do that.
He left with his best opportunity to win. He left before. Last year, he had a chance to go do some things. They made the semifinal without him.
Yeah.
So there was a shot, and then he decided LSU was the place he wanted to be.
I'll eventually get off social media. He's talked about this. Like, social media has become – I saw Doran Dickerson.
The former Pittsburgh tight end?
Yeah, he hosts a sports talk show.
Receiver?
He really said something, had a big comment about another – radio guy in the market who had said something about Ryan Clark, and it was, ooh. And I just thought, man, it is so toxic. Social media makes people so radicalized. Like, people are so radicalized with their comments, way more so than, like, 2008 to when it started, 2010. You see the comments that people make now, and I feel like a lot of people, the things they read, just comments. If you just read comments, It could be something that you see on a video or a post that someone has. Then you read the comments below it. I think that radicalizes you just as much as, you know, hearing from people calling you names or whatever. It's just, I can't believe how many people say such nasty stuff to each other and the things that get them mad, how mad people are now on social media. And I'm talking about people who have jobs, known athletes or former athletes or writers, or whoever the case may be. Man, the day I can just delete social media like my wife has will be one of the great days. I can't yet, bud. And I like.
Yeah, but
and
we
actually,
have a job to do, so it's a little difficult.
Well, and I don't actually. I have good interactions with listeners. That's not a problem. And I actually don't deal with terrible interactions.
Yeah, but a lot of information is on there.
Yeah, it's the problem is when I start reading stuff or seeing comments, or you just see how bad people act, or you just see. I don't know. I wish I didn't know as much. It brings too much to my doorstep. That'll be good subtracting social media. But I actually get along with people I talk to, the listeners, and that's not bad. I don't deal with really toxic stuff like that. It's just when if I go outside of my little bubble and read too much, like, oh, this is terrible. Why did I do that?
Right. All right. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, we got 1 hour to go today here on the show. Come on in.
ESPN 97.5.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.